Blog Talk Radio.
And I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're going to be bringing it to you this evening on this Monday, July 16th, 2012. We got a special guest that's going to be here. Miss Samantha Jordan is going to be one who's going to be here. I'm sorry for saying it wrong. We're also going to have Marcus Love, and we're going to have Luke here as well. So just sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. Radio, and I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we're just glad on this hot Monday here in Kansas City. We're going to be doing our thing, and we got our guest that's going to be on the show, and we want to continue to have everyone that wants to call in, if you just want to call in and listen, or if you just want to call in and have a question for our guest that's going to be here tonight. The number is 347-215-8539, and this is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio, and we say everything on here. We do everything, so this is explicit radio, so if you got any problems with that, you might as well don't get on, because we do say what we mean. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to get here and see who we got on the show. I know we got Samantha. We're going to be talking to her, but let's see who else we have here. We got Samantha. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. I'm sorry you probably didn't get that cue that I had let you in. I'm sorry about that. But we're just glad to have you on the show, and we're going to be talking to you in just a second so you can tell us about your books and how you got into the game and everything. But we also have someone else here. Let me see who we have. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Okay, maybe this is just a listener. So we're going to go ahead on with you, Samantha. So how's things going with you?
It's going great. It's going great. Thank you for having me on the show.
And we're glad to have you because we've heard so many things about you and your work. So we're going to go ahead and get right to it while we're waiting on the other guests to come along. We're going to go ahead and get you started. So what got you started in the literary game in the first place?
Just liking to write and liking to get down with what's going on now and not all this, you know, a lot of people write about stuff, love, sex, everything else. I'm real. I'm straight to the point. So I like to write about things that's just straight to the point. And
okay,
so I got into writing straight to the point things and talking about women now because a lot of men have laid their cards on the line and admitted to the things that they do. But women sit back and don't say a lot, that like we're perfect and we're not. So I decided to write the first book, The Woman Cheater, What She Won't Tell You I Will, and the second book, which was released about 3 months ago, The Woman Cheater, Making It Do What It Do, Not My Way.
Well, you know we're going to get on you tonight because we definitely want to hear how that goes. So what makes it different? Because I've always thought like this anyway, that women are better cheaters than men. The reason why I say that is because you have to be more discreet and you have to be more not verbal. Men can get away with some things, I think, because the way society is set up, we can get away and they'll get the pats on the back and everything about that. But women can't do that because they'll be definitely called a hoe straight up if they do something wrong. What do you think about that?
And it's so true. Women are better at it. But if we out here doing things in front of everybody, we're going to be labeled. Men can do it, and they just, oh, they dogs. But women, we all
you know,
kind of things.
So can I get real with you for just a second? This
you
is
really?
We're a sexy radio. So if you want to cuss, you know you can. It's okay. It's not going to get bleeped. This is explicit radio. So if you want to say shit, ass, fuck, whatever, just go ahead. It's all right.
Okay. Come on with it.
I know I just blew your mind with that one. That's okay. But you can say what you want to. I want you to be real as possible. And if you have to use words to explain yourself, just go ahead. It's all right.
Oh, I can sit. I'm straight from the hip, but I don't have to use a cuss word to get my point across.
Right.
But I'm down here.
Just so you know. All right. Okay, so what's the difference between male cheaters and female cheaters?
Well, the difference between a woman cheater, they have reasons they cheat. Women have to be provoked to cheat. Well, most women, I would say, have to be provoked to cheat or have reasons on why they're doing things. Most women cheaters that you find, they have certain areas that they're dealing with and they're cheating because of it. It could be that they've been raped. It could be that they're trying to do a payback. It could be lack of sex. It could be that they just feel like, you know, they're tired of dealing with men dogging them or they feel that men are dogging them, so they feel like, well, I'm a cheat because I don't have time to be dogged all the time. So it's several reasons. With men, they cheat because it's there. If it's laying there with their legs open, then they're there. They're in it. But women,
right,
you know, it's got to be a
women and visual for men, right?
Right, right. And with women, you know, we get a little emotional. Men don't have emotions too much when it comes to cheating. Women, they get attached. And that's one thing that's hard for women when they do cheat because a lot of times if they're cheating, they always seem to get attached, and that's when the problem starts.
Okay, so does your book kind of give them advice on how to cheat, or what does your book actually
do? My first book talks about the different women that cheat, and it's a guide for a lot of men to understand why women cheat because, you know, I had a lot of guys, friends, and a lot of male friends, and I'm a barber, and I do hair, so I had a lot of them say, you know, they always talking about why they want to know why women do what they do because they don't understand women. Man, I don't understand women. Then on the flip side of that, you know, I got tired of hearing women say men are dogs and men are wrong and it's no good men, and we need to stop putting our men down and bringing them up. So I decided to start writing about it.
Yeah,
I just think a man can't do no more than you than you allowed him to do.
That's true. Say that again because that is so true. We understand that, and I think a lot of women don't think that because they've been told so many times. I get tired of hearing it all the time that automatically every woman thinks a man, all men are dogs.
Right.
I mean, they don't give a man a chance. And another thing that I see, as a lot of women take personal or previous relationships, and men too, I ain't going to just say women, take previous mm-hmm. relationships and they try to put it in this the present relationship, which I think mm-hmm. kind of messes up a lot of things as well.
They're bringing on baggage. And mm-hmm. a lot of times when relationships don't work, that's because we haven't let go of the skeletons or the baggage behind us. And when you're trying to form a relationship, I've been married a couple of times. So when you're trying to get into a new relationship, you may need to sit back and not get into that relationship until you think you're ready to get yourself clean. And what I mean by getting yourself clean, it's like being a drug addict.
Right.
You know, a drug addict has to get themselves clean before they can move forward in doing anything. Well, a woman or a man who's been in relationships with all that baggage and all that mess in your life, you can't go forward with another man or another woman unless you clean yourself up.
Okay, I understand that. And I think you're right, because a lot of times people do rebounds. You know, I'm one of those people that's been married a couple of times as well. So my thing is, you know, a lot of times people are looking for things. They're not even complete, like you said, out of the relationship they were in, and then they jump right into something else. Not intentionally, but it just sometimes happens if they allow it. And
right.
they find themselves taking that baggage into the new marriage or the new relationship, and that person has baggage as well because they had something that was going on, and just continues, the cycle just continues to just grow and becomes I don't know. I mean, it just gets crazy, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you really have to really look at yourself. I know in my first marriage, you know, I use me as an example all the time. You know, I got out of that relationship and right into the next relationship with my second husband. I wasn't really finished dealing with what I had to deal with. But this time when I left, I'm in a new relationship. I'm engaged now. But before I met that person, it was a year. I had to get me right.
Right.
You know, I said, you know what, I got to learn to love me before anybody else can love me. And that was my issue. I found myself as a woman cheater because I was going from man to man looking for something I hadn't gotten in years. And that was that male there. I needed that closeness. I needed that understanding. I needed all of that. And I thought, I can date for a long time. I dated several men at a time just to feel like I wanted to get that. Then I had to realize, I had to pray about it. And I had to get prayer in me and get God in me to realize I don't need a man to define me. I need a man because I want a man, but not that I need a man. And that's where a lot of women make their mistake. We all go around thinking, and men too, you know, that we got to have somebody there. And if you can't love yourself, you can't love nobody else 100%.
And I agree with you. And I think what you're right about, I think just want some dick or some hookie. All right, so right now we got my co-host here. How you doing this evening?
What's up, man? Like, I must have came in at the good part, because I came
in.
Hey, y'all talking. She was serious, too.
Say hello to Samantha Turner. She is here, and you need to say hi to her, because she has a fabulous series or a book that she has out about why women cheat, and that's a great subject to talk about this evening.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pleasure to meet you, Samantha.
You too.
And this is D.B. Hint, by the way. I'm sorry I didn't say his name. He's an author as well, and he's the co-host of 460 Radio. And we're going to be with you. Hopefully we're going to have two other guests. We're supposed to have a male guest this evening. Marcus Love is supposed to be calling in, and we're supposed to have Arthur Meeks coming in from the La Femme Cartel, whatever. One of those publishing companies should be coming on. But right now it's just us, so we're going to talk to you, and you have your infinite wisdom on cheating, and I want to definitely hear that. And if anybody wants to call in the questions with Samantha, the number is 347-215-8539. This is World Sexy Radio, and we're going to be talking grown folks radio here and talking with Samantha about the subject of cheating, why women cheat, because she said a lot of men came to her and they saw her wisdom before she wrote these books. They was asking her, why do women cheat? So she put it down on paper. So, and what we've been talking about, DV, basically, is she's been really right on point about it. And a lot of times when women do it, we know it's about feeling with women. So most of the times, when they do it, it's something to do with some revenge or something that they feel, something that they felt to make them do it. So can we get
right
into that? How does that actually, you know, some of the situations that you have wrote in your book that kind of talks about that, Samantha?
Some of the situations I talked about in the first book. Now, the second book is a story. So it's getting down with four characters from the first book. It's talking about lack of sex in a relationship, lack of intimacy, the payback cheater, the bad girls, the exit strategy. And I talk about different cheaters in the first book, kind of break it down like I have 10 characters that I kind of break down what type of women they are. And I talk about the woman who is always mean. You know, every time you look around, it's all about her. It's always somebody dragging her. I talk about the international cheater. She goes around and she just cheats because she got to have it the way she wanted. I talk about the baby mama drama, women out here with all these baby daddies. I talk about Miss Independent. So independent, she can't even keep a man, so she figured why not be with different ones. I talk about the home wrecker, the woman that's out to go after the married man. I talk about the down low girl. You always hear about the down low man, but you never hear about the down low girl. You have a lot of women out here who strictly say they're gay or they're bisexual, but it's
I love
okay.
You. I love you. I love you. You was on point. You was on point. Go ahead, girl.
So I talk about the down low girl, the woman that's out here cheating with men when she gets tired of dealing with a woman and she needs more. I talk about the church girl. I talk about the girls in the church. They so holy roly, but then they get down with different, you know, different things. And I talk about the wifey, the woman that's married and dealing with certain things that's going to cause her to want to cheat on her husband. So I talk about those. And in the second book, I just bring forth Karen, Shaquita, Joyce, Emily, and Sarah. And in this book now, Karen is the wifey and the baby mama. Joyce is the homewrecker. Emily is the down low girl, and Sarah's the church girl. And I take these five characters and I start from the beginning to their lives and to the middle and how they try to make things do what they do their way and it never works out.
I'll tell you what, Ken, folks, all of y'all that's out there listening, y'all definitely need to get this book. And we're going to have her tell you how to get it and where to get it and all that. If you want her to come in and talk to you, your book clubs or anything like that, I suggest that you get Miss Samantha Joyner because she definitely knows what she's talking about in this subject. And we're going to have some questions, hopefully, as we go forth in the show. And we definitely want to, you know, try to get as much as we can out. So, DV, I know you got some questions for her. Just why don't you go ahead and do that with her?
Man, in all honesty, you know, this is kind of one of those subjects where she is, she's the professor. So, you know, no matter what kind of question you have, she's basically covered every type of cheater, whether it be male or female, you know what I'm saying, it's been covered. So, you know, what kind of questions do you ask pertaining to that? You know,
well,
she put in the kind of perspective that allows you to be like, okay, you know, I see exactly what she's talking about and how she's talking about it.
So how did you get the research to support a lot of this? I know it took some research for you to go out and actually study these different specimens that you have that you speak on. And probably people you know or people you've seen. Or you, how did you go about doing that?
Well, the first character, a couple of characters are me. So I had to look at me first.
Right.
And
well,
then
that's
I
good.
Go
we all look at ourselves. You know, and that's
right.
A good way of doing it. Okay.
Right. And I was an advocate of cheating for years until I realized, you know, who I was and what I was really about, and I was working.
Did you enjoy that shit? That's what I want to know. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Did I enjoy cheating? At first, when I was cheating, I did. But if you see, one thing I come to learn, what goes around comes back to you full force.
Right.
So I got to experience some things coming back to me, and I realized I didn't want to go that route anymore. But
okay.
Also,
but
being in the salon, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Like, but how was it that you came to advocate being a cheater? How did you, rationalize that?
I think it was with my first marriage. I came to realize I was cheating real bad in my first marriage. We both were. And it was a tit for tat. You know, I would catch him, so I would want him to catch me. And it got dangerous. It got real dangerous. And I was like, okay.
That's a different aspect. I never heard it anyway. I always thought that a lot of times when a woman, maybe if she did cheat, it wasn't about getting caught. It was just about just getting revenge and knowing her mind is that she did it because he did it. But to get caught.
I wanted him to catch me. Yeah. I was doing it.
That's
just the forwardness in me, the type of person I am. You know, he would throw it up in my face. Women would come knock at my door and do crazy stuff. And I was like, you know what, let me show him I can do this better than him. And then I realized I needed to grow up. you know, because I wasn't gaining nothing from it. So
okay.
I would say some of that was some of the characters are mean. And being in the hair salon for 20 years and being a barber for 20 years, and then I worked law enforcement for 13 years, I got a lot of information from people just listening and just sitting back watching things.
Wow. Cool. I mean, you know, it's interesting because I definitely wish I would have read the book before you came on the show. And I definitely want. Have you been on Word Sex before? Because I think I remember talking to you.
I was on your show probably about 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And we talked about the first book.
Yeah. Because I remember you was down and dirty and you was really took it out there, and I like that. So we definitely want to keep getting you on there because the subject matter you have is definitely great, and you know it needs to be talked about. You talk about a lot of different things on the show, relationship wise, intimacy, a lot of things. But why people cheat is definitely one that you, I think, would be considered an expert on because you have written that and you have experienced it yourself. So we would definitely like to know more.
Well, I am a motivational speaker. I do motivational speaking. I do workshop. I have an agent that, you know, she books me, the A-list. They book me for a lot of workshops all over. I just came back from Maryland. And that's what I'm out here. My goal is to help women learn to kind of love themselves and pick themselves up and quit blaming men. And my goal is also to lift up our men. I'm so tired of our men being put down. They can't get no better if we keep putting them down.
I believe you. Thank you. So when you go out to these workshops and stuff, what do you tell women? What do you try to explain to them to get them to see in your explanation of what's going on?
The basic workshops, like the last workshop or a couple of workshops I did, I had couples, and it is turning into basically where we have to really get down with some stuff. I get down with couples. I get down with single people, you know, and we just sit down and bring it on the table. What is the issues? What are the issues you have? Let's talk about how we can work those issues. Now, I'm very spiritual. I'm not holier than thou, but I'm very spiritual. And I tell people the first thing you got to understand is first love yourself. And first, if you're having a hard time dealing with things, then you need to first go to God and pray about it. Because a lot of times we sit back, you know, and do things that we don't want to do, but we do it because we don't know another way to do it. And so I go around and I talk about it. I'm traveling right now. I just came back from Maryland. I'm going to New York. I've been traveling all over just talking about the book because my main concern with women is to stop blaming everybody. I talk about the woman that blames her father who raped her. I talk about the woman who sits there and blames her parents for not being there. Her daddy's not around. I talk about the woman who came from the ghetto or the hood. Her mama had 9 kids, and she figured she got to have 9 kids too. So I get deep into some situations, and a lot of times women say they fit one of the characters or they know someone that fits one of the characters, and that just helps the healing process for people.
Okay. Well, that's good. So as far as the cheating and all that, what do you tell the women? Do you tell them not to do it, or do you explain to them? I mean, what do you tell them as far as that goes? How
to
expect
tell nobody not to do anything because you're going to make your own decisions. But I ask the question. I pose a question to everybody when we talk about these books. My main question is, how does it feel for someone to cheat on you? That's my main question. What does it really feel like? Or what did it feel like when someone cheated on you? What did it feel like? And a lot of people talk about the hurt, the pain, the confusion, and everything. And then I said, now let's turn the table. You walk in the house and you catch your man in bed with someone else, and he grinding her left and right, and you sitting there watching it. How do you feel? What are you going to do? And a lot of people think about it. A lot of men, I ask a lot of men, think about your woman, because men don't like to see their women with no other man. Think about walking in on your woman cheating on you, laying up enjoying another man penetrating her while you sitting there looking around wondering what the hell is going on. How do you feel? And a lot of them say, man, you know, I never thought about it like that.
Right.
And that gets the conversation going. And a lot of people get into conversation at these workshops that we do. They get into conversations of what they're dealing with in their relationship. They get into conversations of what they've seen in their relationship and things to help them correct it. Now, my thing of helping to correct it, I always, and it's simple. It's just simple. You treat someone like you want to be treated.
Right.
And I always set examples out there of situations that's happened of people I've known or women that I've known or men that I've known. And people are, like, flabbergasted. Like, I tell a story of one girl. She was a down-low girl, and that's what made me write about it. She used to come to the salon and bring this female to get her hair done every week. And then I didn't know the girl was married until her husband came one weekend. And I said, you know, where's your girl? Who bring you? And she was like, oh, I'm not dealing with him anymore. I decided, you know, to be with my husband and do the right thing. And then I finally saw this girl, and she is fully gay. And my thing is, that's your choice. She is fully gay, but she was dealing with a bisexual woman. And this woman was hurt. This woman was to the point where she tried to commit suicide. And see, people don't
wow.
see things like that. You know, cheating can lead up to death. One way or the other. And that's what I get into in the second book. I get into the stories because Karen gets HIV in the story from cheating. And Shakita, well, she ends up almost killing herself. And Joyce almost got killed by her lover, who she cheated with, and his wife. And I talk about Emily, who is down low. What she had to deal with, she decides she want to marry a man, and then her past comes to haunt her. And I talk about Sarah, the church girl, where involving her whole family in the church causes a scandal. So I talk about all of that because it's real stuff that happens.
Right.
Like, here's my question. I took a psychology course a few years back, and the teacher was very adamant about this statement. They basically said that when it comes to cheating, men are impulsive. They don't really need to establish a relationship with the person that they're screwing, but women do. They need to at least establish some sort of connection, some identity. So, I mean, through your studies, have you found out this to be true or something or the exact antithesis of it?
Now, I'm a minor in psychology, and I wrote a paper on that. I disagree. It's true about men, but with women, all women, you have some women that's just like men. They don't have no attachment. They can go out there and sleep with a man and don't think nothing of it. And see, psychology says women get emotional attached. But I've seen with my own eyes, me personally, my own self, I knew how to not get attached. And I talk to a lot of women who say, you know, I don't want him. I just want to lay with him and kick it one time. I read some of the stories that a lot of authors are talking about in Word Sexy. I've downloaded a lot of books on my Kindle to read it. And even reading some of those stories, I pick up on some women, they just doing it just to do it.
But would you say that was the norm or the exception?
I think it's an exception. And it's not the norm for women. It's not the norm that most women would normally go about doing that. But because it's a story that someone's telling. But it happens. It happens,
right.
And a lot of men don't think, and a lot of psychologists don't think that women are non-emotional creatures at times. Because, see, when a woman gets burned so many times allow herself to get burned so many times in different situations, she gets numb. And you hear it, it's the woman's scorn. You ever heard of that? A woman's scorn.
Right.
It's not a good thing.
Right.
But that's why I don't agree with that.
I mean, like, you know, I understand, you know, there are no, with anything, there are no absolutes. Nothing fits a category absolutely. You know, it just so happened that this teacher was, you know, I disagreed because, like I said, I don't believe in absolutes. I don't believe that everybody fits in some itemized category where, you know, this is what you're supposed to do because this is how you feel.
Right.
You know, but overwhelmingly, I find out that, you know, most men typically don't necessarily need to have, they don't even know the other person's identity. They could care less whether they have a name or not. But, you know, typically women need to know, they need to have a name. You know, even if it's not your last name, something you do, what do you do for a living, you know, they need to know something about you, something that they can at least, you know, have an identity to. Attach an identity.
Because I know when I was in my realm of cheating, I had met a guy at a club. I didn't have to know his name or nothing. If I wanted to do him, I didn't.
Yeah, but you're a professional cheater.
But
you're outside all of the norms. You're like, I'm going to do this. But, I mean, even it takes, it's like killing somebody. That
but
first
you
time you do it,
do
it just be traumatic. Right. But you grow into that role.
Why is she a professional cheater? Do you, I don't think she meant to go out and just start cheating and just made it a profession.
No,
why
it
would
was
you
like,
say that?
You know, and the chick, it sounds like her and her ex were kind of tit for tat. You know, he was kind of like, well, fuck that. You did it, I'm going to do it. And she was like, fuck that. You did it, I'm going to do it too.
But that's not
you
the
know?
Only time I cheated now.
Right.
To that, that's all I did. It's, I always dated 4, 5, 6 different guys and they didn't know. I mean, I can remember back in my 20s, I had a party and I had 6 guys I was dealing with all at my party. I got some kind of kick out of that foolishness at one
okay,
point in my life.
Yeah, I've been down that road myself.
Well, yeah, she's a professional cheater. Okay, all right, I got you.
No. But, I mean,
but you know what?
You have women that are like that. I even listened to a story. I mean, I looked at this female was talking on a show I did. And they brought on, and she asked me, did she have a problem? And I said, yeah, hell yeah, you got a problem. She says she's married. Her husband is a professional. She's a stay-at-home mom with 2 kids. And every day this woman would go out because she likes to suck penises. And she would just meet a guy, suck their penis, didn't know him from Adam's apple, and she just liked to suck different penises. Now, that woman kind of shocked me because she said she would just go out and meet men and say, can I suck your penis?
That is awesome.
Okay, that's a little different. That's an
obsession. I like
okay.
This woman's name.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
She didn't know her husband.
It is.
It's not just cheating. It's just she's got an obsession.
And she has an obsession.
Right.
But in
so that means
she doesn't want
it just
understand.
To get back. She's doing it because she loves the pleasure of sucking some dick.
Right. So
okay.
I see a problem with that.
That's Freud.
Okay.
I see a real problem with that. Because, number one, this man has no idea when he's taking care of home and he go off to work. His wife is doing all of this, meeting men in all these strange places. She says she has men that flies in from other states that she enjoys being with, and she gets with them during the time he's at work. And she asks me, do you think I got a problem? Hell yeah, you got a problem.
Yes.
Something is really wrong.
So does she only suck their dicks or does she give them everything else too?
She said on the show, she said she had a few that she would suck and a couple of them that she would sleep with. She said she just had this fetish for just being with men that she did not know.
Oh, damn. You know,
and that was an excitement
because
for her.
For the people call. She got motherfuckers flying in and shit so they can suck her. I mean,
yeah,
so she can suck their cheeks and shit. I mean, damn.
That's okay. Crazy.
But
what's
her
number?
Sure, the area that
she's great
from.
Enough for them to fly in. She has a skill.
I know the area that she's from, people pop, they vacation there all the time in her area.
Right.
That's a big area. And I'm sure these people she met and then they say, oh, okay, well, I'm coming back through town. That's what she means. I'm coming back to town, business people, and they call her.
Well, damn, is this like
a
business for her now? Is this kind of like a side business now?
Well, she don't get paid for it. That's the strange part about it. Because I asked her, I said, do you get paid for this? She's like, oh, no, I'm not a prostitute. And I really flipped out. I was like, what are you?
You
are.
But
you
know that it is.
Straight up
if you accept gifts of money, some women feel that is an affront to, you know, they think because they like sex, if they accept gifts of money, then they become a professional. They're a prostitute, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they, even though they like sex, and they'd rather have nothing for it than get something for it.
Well,
let me ask
you this
question. Do you think prostitutes cheat? Do you think they cheat? A lot of prostitutes have boyfriends. Or do you
yeah, they
consider
do.
That cheating?
By definition,
a lot of porn stars
like
have boyfriends and husbands
it's
and wives. Right. But
it's just like porn stars that are married. By definition,
mm-hmm.
you're with somebody who's not your spouse. So it's
right.
cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, if she's getting paid, would you have felt better about it if she said, I was getting paid for doing this shit, or what?
I probably would have. I probably would have felt better that this was a profession and not just some fetish. Because if you have a fetish, if you're getting paid, okay, that's your way of life. okay? I can't knock you for making money. But if you're just doing it just for a pleasure, try some other pleasure. Go to your husband's job. I told her, I said, go to your husband's job. Meet him for lunch and every day in the parking lot to get over your fetish. You know, do something. Tell him to dress different.
She tired
of his
shit. She needs some different shit.
This is true.
I mean, personally, I just thought it was sick, and that's just my personal opinion. That's her thing.
Well, you know, I don't think it's right either. I mean, I ain't gonna say it's wrong or right, but I'm not saying I agree or disagree. But I understand where you're coming from. No, and the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm not judging nobody. All I'm saying is, you know,
it's not about judgment. I mean, everybody says that. Oh, it's about me judging. No, it's about perception. These are the things that I see, and through my experiences, this is what I feel. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to put your beliefs on somebody else, but it doesn't mean you're not allowed to have an opinion about it either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can have an opinion all day. I have an opinion, but I'm just not going to share it.
Right.
Oh.
How's
that? You probably writing her name down right now. Like, I need to meet this woman.
No, I'm not writing her name.
I did ask what
literally
what location, but she wouldn't say
Miami.
I'm not
even
saying
what location she is in.
No, I don't need that. I'm good. Trust me, I don't need that. But
Slipperhead sister.
Say what?
I mean,
was she black or white?
I'm not going to say.
Okay, all right, we'll leave it alone.
I wouldn't do all that either.
No? Well, anybody out there that has any questions, maybe that want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. It's Word 60 Radio. And we have Samantha Joyner on the show. And I guess the other two guests decided they didn't want to come on, so we're going to have you. It's a two-hour show, but Samantha, if you don't want to stay on the whole 2 hours, I understand. But we are definitely... you know, getting into the conversation with you, and we're definitely going to give people a chance to, if they want to get your book or how they want to get you to come in, and maybe you can go ahead and do that right now. We'll do it again later in the show as well. Tell people how they can get you, get your book, and if they wanted to get you to come in and do a seminar or a book signing or something like that, how would they be able to do that?
Well, first, they can go to Amazon.com, and they can click on the book and get it. They can download it. So Kindle, or they can actually just be able to buy the book. They can also go to my website, which is Samantha-Joyner.com, and they can get it that way, or they can to reach out. You can go to email thewomancheater@gmail.com, and you can also reach out to thealist.com.
So have you ever been to Kansas City? Have you ever been here to Kansas City with your books?
Not yet.
You did?
No. Not yet.
Okay.
No. Mostly in the New York area.
Doctor Professor Samantha.
Not a doctor.
All right.
North area.
But, you know,
only
but
I have
for
I travel so far.
But the thing is, simply because you don't have a doctorate doesn't mean that, you know, you don't put your heart into, you know, what you're studying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It just so happens that the only other, you know, the only reason why they have the doctorate is because they got the book knowledge but not the real life knowledge. You know,
right.
It just so happens that that real life stuff comes after, you know, the degree.
Right.
But
right.
I got
enough knowledge to be a doctor.
But that's what I'm saying.
Doctor.
It doesn't make you. It doesn't make your information any less invaluable. You know.
Right.
But here's my question: in all the studying that you've been doing and everything, what cheater have you discovered is kind of the most self-destructive, or the one that is hardest to climb back into? You know, to see and get everything going back. You know, to normal.
The wifey, the woman that's married. And a lot of people think that it's so strange. But a woman that's married and she's cheating or cheated before, 9 times out of 10 she's going to cheat again because something is missing. And a lot of people stay together for the kids. A lot of people stay together for the finances. A lot of people stay together for all different types of reasons. 9 times out of 10 a woman that's married who's dealing with a lot of things and within herself, or she just don't want to leave, or she just can't leave, or if she's going to leave, it's going to be some type of payback involved. If she gets married again, she's going to do it again until she thinks of what's really going on within herself.
I appreciate
wow.
that.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed the wifey, but I understand what you're saying. You know, once that wall, you know, once that gorge has been crossed, it's kind of like now you can do it because you're like, I've done it, and nothing's changing in my relationship, so I'm going to keep doing it, looking for something that's not in my relationship.
Right. Exactly. And a lot of people find that strange. They would say it would be more so the girl that goes out cheating with
other people's husbands.
Right. They would say it would be that, or they would say it was the down low girl because she can't really, she wants a woman, but she wants a man too. I would say those two are in the top five because most down low women that I've known, and I know quite a few, I'm not down low myself because that's not my thing. I'm strictly dickly. But, you know, so I don't knock it if that's what you like.
Like
but I found out with
them that, huh? Like I said, I got five friends who were unsure about their sexual orientation. And, you know, they got with a woman. And once they got with a woman, you know, that's who they were. That's who they wanted to be. I have yet to see a down low woman who settles down completely with a man. You know, that's not to say they don't exist. I know they exist, you know. It's just that in my little circle, man.
But the reason why is
like
a woman. Like
the dudes are losing.
Right. And a lot of times they say, well, normally if a woman gets with a woman knows what a woman wants. But trust and believe that woman is missing something from a man. It's so many strap-ons you can do. You know, and some women, they stay that way and they don't want to deal with men at all no more. And, you know, that's fine. But then you have some women who just got to taste that man once in a while because there's something missing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, even from the outside looking in on some of those relationships, it seems like those relationships that we're speaking of right now where it's woman-woman, a lot of times it seems like it's more jealousy there because they're worried about the woman running back to a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just seems like it's more friction. What I've seen, it seems like it's more friction in the relationship where they're trying to keep that, you know, keep her from going back because they've convinced her you don't need this man. And then this woman starts feeling that she needs some dick. And the strap-on, like you said, ain't doing enough. You know, you get tired of that. I mean, because let's just face it. Some men, I ain't going to say all, know how to use what they have. So women are missing that piece. So the thing is, you know, a woman with a strap-on don't know how to do that shit. You know, I don't give a fuck how big the strap-on is or how little it is. They don't know how to do what they need to do as like a man can. Let's just be honest. Okay? I get tired of hearing this same thing about women know what women want is when it comes to eating pussy and all that. I don't think that's true either, but that's my opinion. But anyway, I agree with you what you're saying as far as that. But I think it's more of a, they have to try to keep this thing going. They have to keep convincing this woman, you don't want to go back to a man. You don't want to go back to a man. I think that's a struggle that they have every day. What do you say about that?
Well, can a man give you a baby? I know a lot of women that are gay. They want children, and they don't want to pay for the technology. And a lot of times they go sleep with a man just to get children. So even if it's just to use a man to get what they want, they're going to go back to a man at some point.
Right. I agree with that, yeah.
So,
and it doesn't mean
you don't
enjoy it either. And it doesn't mean that they're not enjoying it either while they're getting the dick for the baby or whatever reason they're using.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
So that would be in the top five for me. I think the wifey is first. Just by going around and talking to people and checking out what people are really talking about, you know, and I think.
I agree when you say wifey. Reason why I agree with you on that is because, like you said, once you're in a relationship and you're married and you're really into that person and you don't mess around, I think it's the first time after when you first do it, if you do cheat, you're right. It's like it's a door that's open that you now can go through.
Walk through it.
You wouldn't have done before, but now it's done. It's easier for you to do it.
Well, that's why you shouldn't just rush into another marriage. You know, you need to spend that time with yourself and get it together and try to realize what you got. Like the man I got now, I ain't going nowhere. I wish I had met him years ago. But, you know, I had to realize I had to come through some.
No, but that's the thing. If you would have met him a long time ago, he may not have been the man that you needed at that time.
And I always
you know,
say
but
that.
But he's the man
that
you needed at this time.
It wouldn't have worked because I wasn't fixed yet. But God knows when to put a person in place.
Yeah. I firmly believe you had to go through what you got to learn what you learned so that you would appreciate you. I mean, you know, I've been married a few times. I ain't seen how many. Well, everybody knows. But anyway, so I think that had I not went through those relationships and rebounds or whatever you want to call them, that those different times that I was in that I would not be able to deal with women and even know how to treat women now because of it, if that makes sense. You know, people might down you how many times you've been married, but my thing is I thought enough of these women to marry them than to just lay with them or just to shack with them. So,
right.
I mean, that right there to me is a more positive way of looking at it than to look at it in a negative, well, you got married so many times.
Right.
Okay, well, yeah. But still, I thought enough of these women enough. And every time I got married, I didn't think I was going to get a divorce. Who gets married thinking they're going to get divorced tomorrow?
Correct.
You know, I didn't. You know, I thought I was going to live after with these people. It just didn't work that way. So
let's
you know,
be real now. Let's be real on something now. How many times can you say you get married to different people and you really love that person? You might have loved them, but you wasn't in love with them, and that's what I had to learn the difference of. I married two men that I love, but I wasn't in love with them.
Okay.
I was too busy trying to do me, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm not going to be shacking. I'm going to do the right thing. But what I didn't come to realize was...
Do you think that was in that situation, or do you think that was you?
I hate that statement. Go ahead. Ray, what were you saying?
I said, do you think that is your situation, or do you think that's everyone's situation?
No, I don't think it's everyone's, but I think it's a lot of the majority.
Okay.
You know, a lot of them are people that's been married a lot, and I've even talked to a lot of people because I kind of researched that. They say, you know what, I really, you know, truthfully, I love that person. I cared about that person. I thought I wanted to be with this person, but then I found out I wasn't really in love with that person, and it's a difference. It's a big difference.
Yeah, I agree with you. Since I've been married 3 times, I guess I would say, yeah, I agree with you. So,
but
you know.
It's a big difference. And I find out, too, the main problem, the main cheater is going to be an independent woman. One that's so independent, she don't need a man for nothing but one thing.
Right. Now, that I agree with you.
You can't do nothing for.
I definitely agree with you on that.
Right.
Okay. Well, let me see. I think we may have another caller. Let me see if this is one of our guests with 810 area code. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Red. This is Toy Honey.
Hey, Toy Honey. How are you this evening?
I'm great.
Are you just listening tonight, or you want to get in, or what?
I'm listening.
Okay. Well, we'll let you listen. I want you. Well, since you're here, you might as well say hi to our guest, Samantha Joyner.
Hi, Ms. Joyner. How are you doing?
How are you?
You have a question for her or anything? Since we got you here on the line, you might as well, if you have a question. She's talking about cheating women.
Oh, she's talking about cheating women.
That's right. That's the subject.
Ooh, what a juicy subject. Wow.
So, Tony, what do you think about this? She has broken it down in such a manner that, you know, I love the way she has done this and with the different types of categories of women that cheat and the reasons. What is your question? Do you have a question for her, or do you have anything that you might be interested in to know on that?
I know a little bit of something of women who do that. I've used to hang around women that do that. I know women who do that. But this is one thing I want to know, because the kind of women that I know and used to be associated with that does that kind of thing. Okay, let me just tell y'all an example, and then you give me your take on it. Okay, I was cool with this one chick who I went to high school with. Now, she's with her baby daddy for years. They decide to get married. But every time they got into a little conflict, she'd just be like, oh, F him. And then she'd go out to the club, like, we're going out to the club, while still wearing her wedding ring. She's kissing all up on other dudes and dancing on them. Now, they're separated. But she was never faithful to begin with.
Right. That's not separated.
So Samantha, go ahead and answer
that. Now they're separated, and she said she couldn't take his insecurities and everything. I'm like, okay, you knew before you married him that he was insecure. Mm-hmm. And you are more of a reason that he was insecure. So she claims she has a boyfriend now, and she's doing so much other dirt, too. She could bury herself in the dirt. But what is your take on that?
That's the Wifey syndrome. I call that the Wifey syndrome. She's saying he's insecure, but it sounds like to me she's the one that's insecure because she has to keep dealing with different men to make her feel better about herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she's gonna throw it back on, oh, he's insecure. And the next man is going to be, oh, he it's going to be a problem with every man because she's insecure within herself, and she needs these men to make her feel secure.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay.
That's amazing. Well, this is a woman that just likes to do shit. She comes up with reasons, what it sounds like. Well, maybe even she may not even be coming up with reasons. She just like fucking around.
Well,
she
no,
just,
you
she
remember
just
I
does.
Told you from the beginning? You remember I told you
she
from the beginning of our conversation that every woman that cheats has some type of reason that they're going to do it. It's a
Absolutely.
Reason behind it.
Yes, and I agree with you. So what is her reasoning? She just feel like she's insecure.
She just does what she wants to, but...
Yeah.
I know her history and what her parents have went through. See, her father, who is now deceased, he had a lot of other children on the side. I'm not sure if her father and the mother were ever married, but he had plenty of other children. So she's got a lot of have brothers and sisters.
Well, you think that that has something to do with her cheating?
It may. I don't know, but I know. Ever since I've known her, like, we went to elementary school, junior high school, and high school. She has always done this. Ever since, you know, we were old enough to have, what you say, quote-unquote boyfriends, like in high school, she has
right.
always been unfaithful. Always did what she wanted to do. She didn't care.
It has to do a lot with her past, though. And let me tell you how that has a lot to do with her past. And I talk about this in the first book. Anna talks or one of the characters in the second book about women cheating because she's insecure. Her dad left her. She don't want no other man to leave her, but she's going to do it under them before they do it to her. And that's the syndrome she's in right there.
Wow. So what is that called?
I call it the Wifey syndrome. That is a Wifey syndrome.
Okay,
she
so that's still the Wifey.
With the Wifey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wifey is because wifey can have a lot of things that goes on, because you wifey, okay.
Right.
So what if you got married and you were doing that type of thing? Would that still be? That's not considered wifey. That'd be something else then, right?
Bad girl syndrome.
Ah, okay. Okay.
That's the bad girl syndrome. I'm a bad girl.
So
I gotta do what I gotta do to make me happy.
Samantha, how many syndromes is it all together that?
It's probably a million of them, but I've only come up with 10.
So can men be in these categories as well, or?
Yeah.
Just for the women?
No, men have their categories too. And some of them are very similar, but they're different in a lot
with
of
different
ways.
Different names. Okay.
Right.
Okay, all right. Well, we're talking with Samantha Joyner, and she's here on the show. We're Sexy Radio, and where she's given us some schooling today on why women cheat. And the name of your books again are, what is it called, Samantha?
The first book is The Woman Cheater, What She Won't Tell You, I Will. And the second book is called The Woman Cheater, Making It Do What It Do, Not My Way.
Hmm. Okay. So is this going to be like a series of books? Are you going to have like a series of self-help books on this? Or is this second book it, and you're going to do something else, or what's next for you?
I'm working on building relationships now. The third and the fourth book that we'll be rolling out will be just building the relationships. Like I said earlier, I'm so tired of women downing men, and we're trying to lift our men up. A man can't be a good man unless they got a strong woman behind them. So
right.
The first book was a self-help. The second book is a story. The third book is a storyline, and it's strictly about how we're going to hold up our men. You know,
right.
it's showing some different women characters holding up their men and sticking in there and not just bailing out when every little thing goes wrong.
Right. Okay, well, that sounds good to me. And you know, we're going to be doing, I don't know if you heard this before, but we're trying to get some authors here together to do something like that. We wanted to call it Understanding Our Behaviors, you know, with relationships, the do's and don'ts in the relationship. And we're going to kind of come up with something like that because I know I'm interested in helping people as well, and I don't want to do a book like Steve Harvey where you're out here teaching game and all that. I want to show people from my experience and what I've seen what it is to really be in a relationship and how is it to treat. I really want to make it plain to them that you have to make it about your mate, and that doesn't mean that you gotta be, you know, kissing their ass and taking all the shit they throw at you. But you definitely, if you make it about them, they will make it about you, and that's what we're trying to do.
Right. And that's what I'm working on now.
And I'm not trying to take anything that you're doing, but what do you think needs to be looked upon? Because I'm tired of seeing black relationships or African American relationships on TV and the media or anywhere where there's this strong woman with this weak ass man and she's shaking her neck back and forth and she's dogging him and he can't take it and he's going, I'll get you on all this and worried about she's going to get him.
Right.
You know, I get tired of seeing that. That is not true all the time. You know,
right.
How do we fix that?
Well, the first thing you have to realize, I hear this bull about 50-50. It's no such thing as 50-50. It's 100-100. You got to give 100 to want a person to give 100. And see, the thing is, all these years, if you look back into our ancestors' years, I remember just listening to my grandmother saying, you know, and I come from a bunch of women, and I used to hear her say, oh, you got to take care of that man now so he don't go nowhere. And, you know, it took me a long time to understand that. See, women have a problem coming. I work every day, and my fiancé is retired military. And, you know, I hear my girlfriend say, you work all day, and you're running with your books. You go home, you clean, you cook. What does he do? I said, he do what he's supposed to do. He take care of me. Now, when I can come home and make him happy, I'm happy. You know, and I don't see nothing wrong with that. A lot of women have a problem. They work. I work all day. They got to remember their place.
Right. This is what gets me with women that think the way you're talking about. A lot of them think that they're being dogged if they have to do stuff for a man or whatever. I don't understand why they're being told that. You know that, okay.
Because they're reared that way.
You know,
see, the way I was reared from my grandmother, not from my mother, because she never had that thought process. But my grandmother always used to say, I don't care how much work you got going on, if you don't take care of that man at home, somebody's gonna take care of him. And she didn't mean sexually. See, a lot of women think, oh, I take care of him in the bed. But see, a lot of times, too, we don't do the things we used to do to keep him. And that's what I'm getting to in this third book. You know, we sit back and we let ourselves go completely, and we forget that he's even in. Like, I got him now, so I don't have to do all that. I don't have to cook for him like I used to. Or I don't have to wash his clothes if I don't want to. It's a partnership. It's a partnership. But my thing is, okay, let's remember where we are in the place. Going back to the Bible. You know, and if you get into your word and understand a woman's place, you will put here as a helpmate.
Right.
And the thing is, we have gotten away from that as women. I can talk about women. Now, where the men have fallen short, you know, with the job and the economy and different things going on, we sit back and things are going wrong for them, and then we say, oh, that nigga ain't doing nothing for me, so I'm going to step. Instead of stick by your man and lift him up, you pulling him down by complaining and coming home and just all the time got something to say. But then you got men that do the same thing. They got to complain and always saying, oh, you ain't doing this, or oh, you used to do this for me and you ain't doing that. Don't realize that person is working and trying to maintain as well. So it's kind of like 100-100. You got to try to do your best so that person can try to do their best. But neither party need to be putting down anybody. They just need to work through it. And that's what the problem is. We don't work through it. We figure, oh, I got my own money. I can do what I want to do.
Well, I agree with you. A lot of these people, like you said, a lot of these situations are where women think that if they do something for them that they get used or they get dogged, no one's using them.
Right.
And you, it should be 100-100. You know, both sides, it's nothing wrong with submissive, but submissive to me, since we went biblical, submissive doesn't mean just the woman has to do everything the man says. It means both have to do
both
with each other.
A man needs to be submissive too.
which is compromise. That's the word that we
right.
need. Many people don't want to do that. They just want to, you know, they think, well, he's supposed to do this for me, blah, 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 and he ain't doing it, fuck him, whatever. And, you know, the same thing with men say that about women, too, or whatever. But, you know, it's just, we just need to get off of it. I'm just tired of seeing the way they portray black relationships in movies, even our own movies
right.
that we do. It's always right. the woman is hard, the man is weak, he's running around trying to satisfy her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's just kicking his ass and talking to him. You know, I just get tired of it. That is not true, but they
right.
everything you see is the way they portray it, and I just get tired of seeing that.
And I agree with you. And it's time to change it. It has to start somewhere, and that's my next goal is, you know, just build relationships. We need to build each other up and stop pulling mm-hmm. each other down, and that's what the main problem is. We're pulling, one person is pulling against the other, and it's not going to work. But if that
right.
person is sitting stable and he don't want to do nothing, then you try to do the best you can. And if you can't, I tell everybody, and I tell everybody, I didn't have bad husbands. They just wasn't for me. You know,
right.
and that's another thing. We keep saying, oh, he's a dog. He wasn't no good. I never told anybody that my husbands was dogs and they wasn't no good. I tell everybody, they just was not for me. It wasn't for me to be with that person. But see, sometimes we have to, God allow us to go through certain things and go into our circle, and we have to gain something from it. Now, if you don't gain something from your mistakes or your past, then you have the problem. And I tell women, look at yourself in the mirror first before you judge a man. Stop putting that man down. Look at you. Are you perfect? Are you doing everything a woman should do for that man? And if you can't look at yourself in the mirror and determine that, then you are the one with the problem.
Right. I agree with you on that one, because a lot of times people will complain, and I'm saying people just so I won't make it just women, but people will complain and do all these things, and they're not even looking at themselves. You know, they're asking for certain things and want their mate to look a certain way or have a certain body size or whatever, but then they're not even doing nothing to fix themselves, to make themselves right. You
well,
know, it's
a complaint
it's just,
without an answer. You know,
right,
I always,
exactly.
I've always been told, if I can come with a complaint, come with an answer too, come with a solution. And see, nobody
right.
wants to come with a solution. They want to just come with answers and saying this, and that is not right. But they're not coming up with this solution of saying, okay, baby, how can we fix this? And,
right.
you know, a lot of times it takes a third party. And I tell people, there's nothing wrong with a third party intervening, because sometimes I don't see how I'm reacting and he doesn't see how he's reacting. Then we need a third party in there to kind of mediate that to keep us on an even key. And a lot of people have gotten away from that.
Okay, well, what we're going to do right now is to give you a little break. We're going to play a song real quick to give you about a five-minute break so that you can, you know, get you something to drink or whatever. But we'll be right back after this song. And if you want to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio.
Prince
we want to
customer
we continue
7,
doing
1, 3, 6, 7, 7, 3, 4, 3, 9. I sent you a text to landline message. Storm. Can't get a signal. We'll call back as soon as I can.
Take it.
Samantha Joyner, as she brings us the schooling of this evening with cheating ladies, women that cheat. Okay, so, Samantha, in your research, you said the wifey is the top. What is the lowest?
What the lowest would be? I would
yes.
think that would be your wallflower. I
okay,
talked about
and
the, wallflower.
The wallflower. And, yeah, explain the wallflower and tell everybody what that is.
Well, the wallflower is a woman that waited till she got older to interact with men, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she did start interacting with men, it's kind of like she wilds out. She wants to try different men to find out where she's going. It kind of reminds you of like I use the character as Marianne on Gilligan's Island.
Right, okay. I can go with that.
and she's like, she's a private freak. You know, she's not
uh-huh.
out there because she's just learning. And once she gets a hold of something, she's still trying to find her way. And
uh-huh.
most of the time, once they find that person that they really into, you know, you don't have to worry about them really cheating. They're just really trying to learn some things.
Right.
That's the bottom girl, I would say.
But they cheat while they're trying to find what they're looking for.
Right. They're sleeping with different men
mm-hmm.
because they're trying to really find themselves, you know. And a lot of times, once you know, I've talked to a few women who waited and held out till they're like in their 20s or until they got to college. Then when they got to college, they wild out, like sleeping with different men because they wanted to see what it was all about.
Right. Damn, you know, you're an expert. I really like the way you did your research and the titles you give them. And I really want to get this book. I want to get both of them. So I definitely will be going to get them online and so that I can have this knowledge because you definitely have the knowledge. And you don't have to have a PhD or any of that stuff. A lot of people think you do. Well, it depends on how you present the knowledge. And the way you're presenting it and what I'm hearing, I think it's in a manner that will help people. Not only will it help them, but it'll give them understanding on why things happen the way they do. So unlike, and I say Steve Harvey, not trying to dog him, but the way they did that and how they brought that information out, of course, it was all about money, I think, and it was not really to help nobody, but it was about gaming. And when you tell people to play games or like The Art of Macking, the book that's written by the used to be pimp and all that, you know, that kind of stuff, to me, when you put it out there, you know, it's teaching people how to get in trouble more. Game can recognize games. Just like the movie showed that there was game, and then when it reversed, when the men changed it on the women, and they got mad because they reversed it. So, I mean, do we really want to teach people game? Do we want to? And I don't think that's what you're doing. In your books, you're trying to teach people to understand what it is, the reason why they do what they're doing.
Right, and I agree with you on that. I don't doubt anybody's book. But in that, I mean, right now I'm working with a book club, and they're reading his book. And the person asked me to come in on the book club and respond to what I thought about Steve Harvey. And I always say, out of no disrespect for him or anything, I think it's bull. A lot of stuff is bull, because when you go in playing games, you're going to end up getting played. So,
exactly.
And that's what the movie actually shows you. A lot of them end up getting played.
Right. I mean, we can go ahead and say what we think. You know, it's garbage or whatever. That's, you know, that's what it is. You know, I mean.
Some of the stuff he says is real talk, but I don't think we need to play a man, or I don't think you need to play that man to think like him in order to get him. Because if I got to think like him in order to get him, I don't deserve him.
Right, right.
You know, I don't need to I don't need to be thinking like a man in the first place.
Exactly.
I need to think like a woman and handle my business like a woman. I need
right.
to think like a woman and gain my respect and earn my respect the right way.
Well, the biggest trick in the whole thing to me is that 90-day rule. I always use that one because, to me, the 90-day rule, how can you really use that to determine whether, you know, a man is going to act right or not? I mean, a man can act right with you all day, and that don't mean he ain't screwing somebody over here in the corner. He just know how to keep it where you don't know. You know,
I don't agree with the 90-day rule, and this is me. This is my face on that one. I'm writing an article right now about that for a magazine. And what's 90 days? That's my question. What's 90 days? I'm going to hold out on this man for 90 days. And then after 90 days, once I get him, I may not even want him. I understand his concept of what the 90 days are, or what people say the 90-day rule, because you want to get to know that person inside and out, you think, in 90 days. But I'm going to be real with you. In 90 days, me personally, I can show you my best forward. But what's going to happen after a year?
Right.
What's going to happen after that year? I start flipping the script on you. So 90 days don't mean nothing. That's just like 90 days on your job. I can go do 90 days on a job, and if it don't work out, what? They're going to fire me.
Exactly, and that's where he got the concept from. Actually, that's what he used in the movie. You know how you get these jobs, a lot of labor jobs. You know, you get these jobs, they put you on a 90-day probation until after the 90 day before they bring you in and put you on the, full-time and then there's, what is it, the union or whatever. So they check you out, and some of them are like 120 now, 100 days, whatever. They do this to see if you actually don't come to work on time and do all this, how much time you're going to be late and all this and whatever. You can act right, like you said, for those days, and then once you get past the probation period and you pass and you're in, then
exactly.
So what does that prove?
No.
You know, it just means that you just didn't give them the pussy earlier, and he just waited, and he still got it, and still fucked you around. That's what that means to me. So
well,
I don't see.
My rule is try on your shoes before you buy them, because if they don't fit, once you put them on, then what you gonna do? You gonna take your bag?
Yeah, try your shoes on. Okay, so the concept would be go ahead and do it or whatever. This is my thing. And I'm going to say this. People don't have to agree with me or whatever. I mean, it's just my opinion. I don't think that, and men do this all the time to women. I wish they wouldn't do this. You know, if you meet somebody, it shouldn't be no time frame. If y'all clicking and y'all want to have sex or whatever, I don't think that you should judge nobody on that. I mean, and then another thing that men do that gets me is this. Why do you get with a woman, and then when she does you well, you want to start talking about why is she doing me well? I mean, it's stupid, if that makes sense. Okay, if she sucks you well, you worried about who taught her. Why are you worried about that? She ain't with him now. She's with you. So what's the problem? I don't understand some of the concepts that men come up with some of the ideals. They worried about how this woman got the skills. She's not worried about how you did it.
Right.
So, I mean, I just...
That's because a man is basically waiting to see. A lot of men want that woman they think is perfect, you know, and they're, like, thinking she's not been touching it, teaching or something. And
right.
So when she comes out teaching and show him a couple of things, it's intimidating. So
yeah.
I do tell women, don't put all your cards on the table at one time. And what I mean
right.
by that, when you do decide to sleep with this person, don't give them all one time. Because then you don't have anything to work with. That's just like married couples. Your first 5 years, you know if it's going to work or not. That's what you hear people say, but that's not true either. I know some people married 20 years and it's over.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a day-to-day process, a month-to-month process, a year-to-year process, and getting to know a person. Because I can front for 4 years. I can front
right.
for 4 years. I can front for 3 years. You know, and I
right.
can show my best with my best foot forward, just like on a job. I can work that job 3-4 years, and then I turn into a totally different person because I'm not digging that job no more, or I'm not happy on that job. And it's the same with the relationship. I can be with that person for 2-3 years and realize, you know, I ain't digging that person no more. I ain't happy with that person no more. So what do? I revert to doing what I know to do.
Absolutely.
So that's how it works.
And that's the point that I was trying to make with that. I mean, there's other things that's in there as well, but in that book, but as well. But you know, that 90-day thing really sticks out to me because it just, you know, it just really, really, I mean, the stuff that he was teaching and some of these women that are actually taking this for real.
Oh, it's some women reading it and living by it day to day.
And they're actually taking this for the gospel, and they're really getting themselves in a bind. You know,
look,
I know
they're still single later. After they finish with the whole process, they're still single at the end of the day.
Right. Right. So, you know, I mean, it's just, my thing is that you can't change somebody. If they're not ready to do something, they're not going to do it. I don't care what you do. That's why, you know, you hear a lot of times when women try to get these men and bring them into church and all that. If that man ain't ready to get in church, it ain't going to work.
It's
so, you know.
I talk about that, too, in the church girl. You know,
right.
The church girl is in the church. A lot of times they're looking for that good man in the church. Hell, the devil is in the pulpit. So why are you looking for a good man in the church? There's a lot of demons in the church.
Absolutely.
That's where most of your demons are found, in the church. And I've been in the church for years. I'm a pastor's daughter, you know, so I've seen the ins and the outs. I married the deacon of the church, the hell that raised them all, you know. And I talk about the church girl. I don't talk about it, but I have a lot of churches getting on me about it. And I tell them, I'm in the church. You know, I'm active in the church. I'm not playing God. I'm being about my business. But we all fall short at some point, you know, and we are not perfect. And when we get perfect, it's time to leave.
Well, everybody falls short. I'm glad you said that because, you know, it's just like a lot of times people get in there and they get a little shout on, a little this or that, and then all of a sudden now they think they're better than everybody or they act like they've never been out there. And, you know, that's not true.
That's why I put her in the book. I wanted to hit home, you know. And every one of my books, actually, I write about somebody in the church because it's in the church. And I actually had a couple of pastors, and I've done a couple of groups in churches also, had me come in and talk to the church as well, you know, because they're saying, you know, I got a lot of women here dealing with this stuff, and I need somebody here to talk about it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. This is a good segue into what I wanted to really get into tonight as well. One of the questions that I had received was, can you be in the church and still be sensuous?
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people think that they can't be, you know, and I'm just going to be honest. I've been in some churches where the pastor is
have been all in your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the pastor needs to be in your bedroom telling you what you can and can't do in your bedroom. And I'm talking about married couples. What you can do, oral sex or whatever. I mean, there's churches that will tell you that you can't do all this stuff and try to come up with ways to tell you you can't do that. And I think that that's not right, because that's wrong.
I'm glad I belong to a good church, because my pastor does not preach that foolishness. He teaches from the Word, and he said, is that your wife or is that your husband? You do what you need to do for satisfaction. You know, and
he teaches that.
That
is in the eyes of God, and I hate to get churchy on here, but I'm just saying that the eyes of God, the bed is undefiled for the married couple. In other words, what he's saying in that scripture, in my understanding, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, is that, you know, whatever you do with your wife or husband is honorable in God's eyes, because it's your wife or husband. Now, I'm not saying we go out here that you ain't married, whatever you do, blah, blah, blah. That's whatever, but we're not getting into that. We're just talking about this particular situation where that's there, and I just think that a lot of these pastors don't need, and then when these people run to the pastor, whenever there's a problem going on with their wife or husband, I think that some stuff, there should be a third party, but I don't think you need to go into the pastor all the time and putting all this in. What do you think about that?
I learned my lesson about that. And I'll be honest, my second marriage, we were in the church real heavy. He was and I was also. But he was cheating with women in the church. You know, when I went and sat down and talked to my pastors about it, I shouldn't have never did that. Should have never did it. Because it caused so much chaos. Now, at the end of the day, you know, they was on my side, and they was like, you need to leave him. You know, he ain't about nothing, and blah, 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 blah. But instead of me leaving him, I left the church. You know, and my thing is, I tell people, it's nothing wrong in talking to your pastors about your relationship, but know what to tell your pastors. And if you need counseling, sometimes.
I've seen people where they actually ran and said, well, I'm going to tell the pastor on you. They're saying that to their husband or whatever, or their wife.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is taking it too far. Yeah.
And I think when you're doing counseling, even my pastor said, you know, we recommend counseling. I mean, my pastors now, they tell couples, we will counsel you, but it's nothing wrong with using a counseling service outside for your marriage. Because they don't get involved, and I noticed that in my church. My church is very small. We may have 100 members, but my pastors teach. And it's not about preach, but it's about teach. And I've learned a lot from them, because you don't run to your pastors with all your personal business. Because like they said, if you don't run to me, my pastor always said, don't run to me to pray for you. You should have the power to pray for yourself.
Right.
You know, and I agree with that. You know, it's time to stop playing, being about church and playing church and be about what the Word is really about. And that's where a lot of people, I talk about the church girl in this book, because a lot of women go to church and they say, "Oh, I'm not having sex. I'm stepping away from having sex," but yet they lusting after a man in the church. Well, you might as well lay down with him.
Right.
So that's why I get deep into that, because a lot of people misconceive women in the church.
Right. Well, you know, I'm very intrigued with your book and your research and your study and everything that you put into this. And I really think that you should really get out there and go around and help some people with this. So how can people get you?
I said I'm working with that now, traveling around. If you want me in your area, just contact us. Just visit my website. All my information is on my website, www.samantha-joiner.com. You will find my agent's listings there. You will find my books there. You can click on my books and order them from there. You'll find all the information you want to know about me and how to contact me or my agent. And I'll be more than happy to come to your city. You know, I'm not expensive. Like a lot of people say, I've flown around in the last couple of months and visited different places. I'm not an expensive person because I ain't doing it all about the money. You know, I'm doing it to help people, but you do have to cover my expenses and getting there. So I'm willing to travel and I'm willing to talk with people, because I think there's some things that need to be said and some things that need to be done to kind of rectify some problems that we are having in relationships.
Okay.
I'm working on a segment now with younger man, older woman, the Cougars. I just did a show in Maryland. We were talking about that, about the Cougars, and I think that's something that's really hitting the scene right now, because it used to be a problem with older men dating younger women. You don't hardly hear that no more. You hear older women dating younger men.
Yeah, they made this big thing. Matter of fact, a friend of mine, Earl Sewell, had a book out called Cougars, but it turned out to be, it was about that subject, but it turned out to be something else as well in there as well. But, yeah, this has been a new trend of things, a cougar. So can you, well, I know people know about it, but let's kind of talk about that for a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that the cougar is looking for? Are they looking for some stamina? Are they looking to teach somebody something? Or what is it that they want?
I think a cougar is looking for the same thing that any other woman is looking for, just to be loved. But see, the thing is, when you're dealing with older women, and I've been in that era too, I've been there, done that too, so I can talk about it. When I dated younger men, younger than me, I wanted men because I like to have fun. I like to travel. I like to do things. And I always had in my mind that, you know, dating men older than me, they don't want to do nothing but sit home. They don't want to hang. They don't want to travel. They don't want to do nothing. And me, I like to get on the motorcycle. I like to travel. I like to do things. I don't want to sit up in the house.
Right.
So that was my purpose of dating a younger man. You know,
okay,
I had the time.
Right. I've heard women say that were cougars or in this situation. I heard them say that a lot of times they date younger men because it's like they have this mentality of teaching them, and not necessarily in the bed, but being in a situation where they have something more than he has, like they've arrived. This younger man is trying to get to where they're at as far as finances and stuff like that, so they feel more confident to be with this man and do things with him because they're at a position where they don't have to compete with a man that's older that might have something the same or whatever. You know, I mean, I've heard all kinds of reasons on that. So
I mean, it's a lot of reasons. Just recently, you know, we was talking about this on Friday on the radio show in Maryland, and we was also saying, you know, what about those men, those younger men who got money, who can handle their business, going after older women.
Right.
And they taking care of these older women.
Right.
There's so many reasons why women choose to be with younger men. It's sometimes sexually. It's stamina, definitely, because when a man gets to a certain age, he's not as highly peaked, in fact, as a woman. A woman, once she hit 40, is uphill and going. You know,
right.
So that's the reason. But you have some men out here who are holding down their own and they're still dating older women. And the reason why these women allow these men, because it's like they're being able to breathe. You know, a lot of they've been in relationships with older men. It's boring, or either they're not sexually peaked, or they're not getting what they want, the excitement. And it's all about the excitement. But you got some younger men who are just as bad as these older men. So, you know, I think there's a median there. I think you should pick who you love and who you want to be with. It shouldn't matter about age, color, creed, or anything.
I agree with you. That's what I was just going to say. I don't think that we should be, you know, everybody wants to judge people, and that's the whole problem. You know, if an older man is with a younger woman and she's in her 20s and he's in his 40s or 50s, and they want to be together and they, for some reason, feel like they got something that clicks, then why can't they be together? Same thing with an older woman with a younger man. Now, we understand that mine is going to be a little awful stuff. Okay, there's reasons, or maybe it's just sexual, whatever. I mean, but is it wrong?
Well, I look at it this way, and they got on this topic. My son is 20, and his girlfriend is 31. And everybody's like, oh, my God, what you doing? How you dealing with it? What you going to do? And I just sat down and had a long talk with my son. I said, if this is what you want, then it's you. It's on you, boo. You know, if that's what you really want, that's you. But let me school you on a couple of things. You know, and I know what his reasons were. And he's liking that, and if she's wanting to deal with that, then that's fine. Because to me, he's not mature enough on the level to deal with that. But I don't get in the way of it because that's my only child. We have a good relationship. He do his thing. You know, if he comes to me and says, "Mom, look, this, that, and the other," I don't give him my opinion one way or another to the point where I just ask questions. Well, do you think you can handle this? Do you know this is what she's looking for with this? Do you realize she has 4 kids? You know, and I might bring up those answers to him, and then I'll say, but you know what? Whatever you decide, I got you 100%, but don't be nobody's fool. You know, at the end of the day, I tell him that about any woman, not just because she's 31. And then someone says, well, what if she have a baby? What would you do? I said, be a grandmother just like any other thing. You know, it's just you have to allow your kids to live their lives because we've already lived ours. So that parent getting all upset because they're dealing with an older woman, I went through that stage at first, and then I thought about it. What am I getting upset for? He don't live with me. He handling his own business. So, therefore, as long as they ain't coming to live in my house, we cool.
Right. Well, that's any age woman. You don't want to have no damn couple, another couple in your house anyway.
Right.
I was always told it's never good to have two mothers in one house. So, you know, I got that. I understand that. So, yeah, and I agree with you on that, too. And like I said, you're just a wealth of knowledge, and it's always good to have you on the show. And, you know, I like when you want to come on and everything and bring your stuff. And anytime you want to, you just make sure you come to Word Sexy Radio anytime you feel like you want to come on and talk and bring your knowledge. We enjoy that. So we got about 29 minutes, and if anybody wants to call in, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and we definitely are talking to Miss Samantha Joyner, who is well-versed on situations that women are dealing with and cheating and different things. Not only cheating, but she has knowledge on all aspects of relationships. And we just want to continue to keep that, you know, on here. And we'll have you come in whenever you got time. A lot of times you can just come on the show and just bring it, because we talk all kinds of stuff on the show. And, you know, your knowledge is really, you know, we would love to have that, you know.
You need to have it in your area, too. Y'all need to call me down there. Let's do a workshop and
yeah,
call it some type of tool, because everybody has a wealth of knowledge. I see all authors have something this year. So, you know, that's where
absolutely
we need to network together and come together and do something positive.
Yeah, I believe so. So I'm going to mess with my friend. I know she didn't want to really talk. But, Toy, honey, you got anything else you want to say?
Oh, man, y'all said so much stuff I wanted to chime in on. Wow.
You can chime in now. Go ahead.
It was so much stuff. I don't know where to start, because y'all talked about cougars. Yeah. Okay, this is what I wanted to say. Okay, the guy that I'm dating, okay, it's like the older man, younger woman kind of thing. Okay, I'm 30. I just turned 30. He will be 39 next month.
So do you consider that older man to you because he's 9 years older?
You know what? When I started dating older men, I said I go as far as 50.
See, that's what I was going to say. Now,
I was like, if they're in their 50s, I don't know. Because I have dealt with some men in their 40s, early 40s, and they were so grumpy. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, well,
and I mean, this is a relationship type. I'm talking about like go on a date. You know, they take me to dinner and stuff like that. But not relationship type. This is the first relationship I've had with a man that's that much older than me.
Okay. So what is the question?
Oh, well, I just wanted to know, you know, what Ms. Joyner thinks about, you know, older men with the younger woman, like say maybe 9 or 10 years older than the younger woman.
I don't see nothing wrong with that. Me, I dated a man 65 and I was 23.
Wow.
I don't see nothing wrong with it. I think it's who your preference is and what you're getting from it at that time. You don't know where it may go. So I don't think we need to put an age limit on a relationship. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't think you need to put a color barrier on your relationship. I don't think you should put any barriers on a relationship, because you don't know what God got for you. It might
absolutely
be that. I mean, I look at the fact my father was 58 when he married an 18-year-old, and I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson, and he's dead and gone right now, and she happened to die last year, and she's 4 years younger than me. But I learned a lesson. Love has no age color on it. You know, and I saw some real good things and I saw some real bad things, but I think it's what you make of it in that relationship and where your maturity level is in dealing with the older man.
Hmm. Okay.
So you asked that question because what?
That's the only reason why I asked.
Well,
I have a mature level, but the thing is, okay, I know what my goals are relationship-wise. And I had, before I got in this relationship that I got into, this guy was 60 years old. Okay, at the time, I believe I was 29. He was talking about, you know, dating me, being in a serious relationship, and I'm like, okay. I was like, he's a nice guy and everything, but relationship-wise goes like, okay, I'm young. I want to have some more kids. And I'm looking at it this way, okay, by the time I have kids by him and I'm changing their diapers, I might have to be taking care of him in that way, too.
But I know a lot of men that's in their, I mean, in their 60s, they're very, very spry. You know, I used to have that negative thought in my mind, you know, I don't want no older man because he can't hang with me and be. But I had one shut me down, and he wasn't on Viagra either. You know, so I just don't, I think it's how that person takes care of themselves. And you have some men that are in their 60s and their 50s that take good care of themselves and have taken care of themselves for years, and they can outrun any 30-year-old woman. And I've experienced that. So I used to say these things, but I think when you get to a mature level in your life where it's like my door is open, anywhere it goes, I just want a good man. This is what I'm looking for in a man. And if you find it in a 60-year-old or a 30-year-old, it's your choice. I don't think we need to put an age limit. When you go in a relationship, don't look at the age. Don't look at none of that. You need to be looking at the man himself.
There you go. I agree with you on that one because I'm 51 and I'm holding my own like a motherfucker. So I'm in their 20s, in their 30s, and all different ages. So I mean, I'm not having problems satisfying them and doing the things that they need. You know, it's just like you said, it's how you take care of yourself. Now, there was a time where I had got out of shape, but I got myself back in shape now. I'm doing the things that I need to do to get off some of the medicines I was on, because a lot of this that you're talking about with the men not being able to hold on, when they get in their 30s, a lot of men don't realize this. When you start getting in your 30s, that's when your testosterone starts to drop. So, and what makes it drop even more is if you have a situation like high blood pressure or cholesterol or whatever, and you have to take these medicines, so your sex drive goes down. So a lot of these men don't, you know, they laugh about taking Viagra and all this stuff and say they don't do it, but let me tell you, every man goes through this thing, is going to go through it, okay? So they need to stop making jokes about taking Viagra or Cialis or whatever and start taking care of yourself, and you're going to get to a point where you have to do it. It's just a way of life. Just like you say, women, when they get in their 40s, they're at their sexual peak, and it gets strong. It gets better and better as they get older. It's the opposite for men.
But you got some women in their 40s can't do that either because they hadn't taken care of themselves either.
Absolutely. So the thing is how you take care of yourself and what you got to do, eating right and trying to get the right things in your body and working out and doing those things, and so that you can keep some of this medicine out of you. But, I mean, even if you don't, you still got to work on certain things so that your testosterone and everything can build. So that's the problem that a lot of people think, and they laugh when they say, you got to take Viagra or whatever. You know, I think they need to stop making that a negative because that's just the way of life.
It's the way of life.
So,
mm-hmm.
So when you get men
let me ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Just to ask you a question. Do you like this man? How do you really feel about this man? Is she there?
Toy. She's still. Toy, honey.
Yes. Yes.
She asked you a question.
What did she ask?
What do you
feel about this man? I mean, do you like him? Can you get into him? Is he pleasing to you?
Well, the man that I'm dating now?
That's 29.
Oh, yeah. He's very pleasing in every way.
Okay, so what's the problem?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
I didn't have a problem. I was just asking, what was your take on it?
Right.
If you're happy, it doesn't matter about the age.
And that's true. And my thing is you wouldn't ask that question if it wasn't a little inkling in your mind that you think that you might be wrong. And see, that's the whole thing. Everybody got to stop thinking or putting words in people's or putting thoughts in their minds about, okay, he's too old for you or he's too young for you or she's too old or too young, whatever. We got to stop listening sometimes to the people that surround us when they tell you certain things. Just like we talked earlier in the show about if you meet somebody and if you decide you quote grown and y'all decide y'all want to have sex the first day you meet or 2 days later or whatever or 20 days later, it shouldn't have nothing to do with nobody else what they think. It's between you and that person. Okay,
right.
So my thing is as long as y'all can handle doing that, then it shouldn't be a problem. You shouldn't be worried about, well, I did it too quick and all this stuff. And if I tell somebody, well, you don't need to tell no damn body, first of all. Second, like I said, it's between you and him or her, so why should it matter? As long as y'all happy with it and it's okay, it's fine. We need to stop putting standards or stuff that's out on people and judging folks on stuff when we just got to stop doing that. It's the same thing with the older, younger. It's like if you have with this older man, then that's all that should matter. If I got a younger woman and she's 30 and I'm 50 and I'm satisfying her and she's satisfying me and we taking care of each other the way we need to, then it shouldn't be nobody's problem. And if they got one, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? It's between me and that person. So if you're happy with this 39-year-old guy and he's bringing it down to you in every way, not just sexually, but in all aspects, then you should be, you, it's good. I wouldn't worry about what everybody else thinks.
It's all good.
So, you know, that's my thing. Just like you said, Samantha, I think you said you dated a guy that was 65 and you was in your 20s. If you was happy with that at that time and it was working for you, it was okay, right?
It was working for me at that time.
Right.
And, you know, I had a lot of havoc behind it. My friends were making all these things, problems. And you know, it probably would have been all right. But then, you know what, he was married.
Right.
So it was what it was. I even was in a position to where when I'm 45 now, but when I was in my 40s, I was dating someone 10 years younger than me. When I was in my 30s, I was dating someone 10 years younger than me. And I always had this thing for younger men. And I used to hear it all the time, oh, you a cougar, oh, you robbing the cradle. But I used to tell people, mind your business. You know,
right.
They see you out or see me out doing different events. Because I've had different events and different job situations where I was out in the public eye, you know. And my thing was, mind your damn business. Because I'm happy with me right now. As long as I'm happy with it, it doesn't matter what mama, daddy, or nobody thinks. Because at the end of the day, you got to be happy.
Especially if you're paying your own bills and everything and you ain't living
exactly.
with them. So they don't need to be doing
exactly.
it anyway. Right.
Exactly.
So, you know, I understand that. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's just what you think. You know, if you're happy, then be happy and stop worrying about people. Now, if you can't walk down the street with this person and all this stuff because you're worried about people, then maybe you need to take a look at it. But if you, and that's the same thing with interracial. We can even go there for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not happy in an interracial relationship, are you worried about people looking at you with this person, how they are, them talking about you, then don't do it. Don't have kids with somebody like that because all you're going to do is create problems for them that they don't need. So my thing is don't do something that you can't handle. If you talked about somebody like that and then you get in it, you know, you better take a look at it. That's all I got to say.
That's true. I agree.
So, you know, my thing is I think people should just, life's too short to be sitting up here worrying about what somebody else thinks about what you're doing. You just need to enjoy life and do this shit because you don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, you just got to just, you know, if she's young and she's old or whatever, you want to be with them, be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or he or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just whatever. I don't know. That's just my opinion. So, So, Toy, you got any other questions? You said you had so many. We got about 17
I have
minutes.
One more question.
You sure? Because you said we was hitting a lot of stuff now. You know, I mean, you said you wanted to hear something else. So, I mean, I'm sure that she went over a lot of things tonight. It's a great show. She went over a lot of things, a lot of avenues, a lot of things were hit. So, if anybody was listening, and you can definitely, I'm going to make sure you get a copy of this show as well because it's recorded. And about 20 minutes after the show is over, it'll be on your website. So you can take this and pass it on and use it in the future, Samantha or whatever. And anybody who didn't hear the show, they can get it. We'll have it out there where it's available for them to listen to it. I think that it's good that we have people like you that's out here trying to help people instead of dogging men because a lot of times men get the raw deal. I mean, men do some fucked up shit. Women do too, though. So I just think I'm tired of men, all men getting put in the category that when you go to the club, that every man is trying to get some pussy, you know, or a woman, you know, if a woman's there. I mean, my thing is if you're a woman, you just want to listen to music or whatever, and you're there, you don't want to be bothered. That's your prerogative, but, you know, don't get mad if a man comes and try to talk to you when you're there. You put yourself in a situation, you know, what do you think about that real quick? We got about 15
minutes. I think a man... A woman, well, let me put it this way. A man can only do what you allow him to do.
Right.
I always tell women that. A woman can only do what you allow him to do. It's time to quit playing the blame game and step up
right.
to what you're allowing to happen in your life. If I
right.
go to a club and I'm sitting there chilling and I don't want to be bothered, I'm going to tell that man, look, I don't mean no harm. Thank you for coming over, but I'm not interested right now. I'm
right.
going to be point blank. But see, a lot of us, women, they'll go to the club and, oh, this nigga, let him buy me a drink. Let him buy me a drink. And as long as they buying them drinks, they fine. And then at the end of the night, they don't want to be bothered. Well, you should have bought your own damn drink.
Exactly.
Why should then allow a man to buy you drinks all night? Then you don't want to be bothered. So there again, you allowed it.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, my thing is, you know, if you don't want to be bothered with somebody, and I mean, you can listen to music at home. Mm-hmm. You ain't gotta go to the club. The you know, what gets me is I see these young girls a lot of times, not the older ones, but most of the younger ones, they walk around holding each other hand, and you know, they don't want nobody to say nothing to them, and you know, they make us, you know, they cock blocking or whatever you want to call it, dick blocking or whatever you want to call it. They just, it's like they got to make sure their girl don't fuck because they ain't getting none or something. I don't know. What is that about?
I think it's more sort of insecurities. It goes back to insecurities again. I don't think it's that, like they're cock blocking, but they figure, you know, it's an insecurity somewhere. When you got girls saying, I guess I can't really touch that point too much because I never was the one to hang with a bunch of women. I always hung with a bunch of guys if I was going to go out.
Right.
But I guess with my field, I was in law enforcement, wasn't a lot of women for me to hang out with. You know, I came in that era where it wasn't a lot of women to hang out with. But when I see that, I see insecurity. Somewhere there's an insecurity. Like,
you know,
said, they could be worried about the fact, they could be worried about the fact, yeah, that she may get up on something and I might not. But they make, you know, women back in the day, I used to hear girls make pacts. Now, we're going to go to this club, and we ain't going to get down with nobody. We're going to have a good time. We come together, we leave together. I used to tell people, look, I drive my car, you drive your car, we leave when we get ready. But, you know, it's an insecurity there somewhere where that woman don't trust herself. So she need her girls to keep her away from certain people.
Okay, so that's why they walk around, hold each other's hand, and at the end of the day, at the end of the night, they making sure the girl don't do nothing. They pulling her and shit, and she want to talk to the guy, but they pulling her ass. Come on, girl, you don't need to do that and all this shit. So it's all
right.
About them. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to confirm that. That's what I thought. But anyway, it's just amazing how different things go on and why they go on. And then I even heard a woman tell me one time that she used to hang with ugly women because that way she would look like the most appealing, and then she would get the most people to talk to them. How true is that?
That's insecurity too. I mean, I used to have a friend that used to like to hang out because she was light skinned and pretty and thought nobody would step to nobody else. She liked to hang out with big women because she was smaller. You know, and I think it's an insecurity. They figure, well, if I'm hanging out with these type of women, then I ain't got to worry about me not even being talked to or being asked to dance. It's an insecurity. You know, me personally, I'm a heavy set woman. But I carry myself like a heavy set woman, and I'm not sloppy with it. I look good. If anybody go to my page, Author Samantha Jordan, anytime you see me, I'm stepping. I don't care what size I am, and anywhere I go, I can pull a man if I want him. And that's it's all about insecurity. I was never insecure, or I always was positive about myself. It didn't matter what size I was, how much hair I had, because I always throw some in. You know, it was just. And I see a lot of women do that. They go out there and say, well, you know, I'm going to hang with her. And then normally you see the pretty girl, skinny girl, so-called pretty girl, so-called the right size girl, hanging with a bunch of girls that's bigger and not so attractive. But I think you're attractive inside. You have to be attractive inside before you can display it on the outside. So a lot of times women are insecure about how they look, how their appearance is, and they can do something about that. But they hang with sisters that has it together just to build themselves up.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes a whole lot of sense. Yeah. So most of that is insecurities. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely
nine
makes
sense. 9 times out of 10, dealing with any woman issue is some type of insecurity there. Being that, like, I write in the second book, and I talk about it in the second book, where one character was raped throughout her whole childhood, you know, and her insecurities were she hated men at that point. So her goal was to go after every man and hurt him in some way. Then I talked
right.
about that syndrome where the daughter father wasn't around, and she yearned for a man in her life, so she went around sleeping with different men just to have that security of a man around. Then I talked about the syndrome where I even talked about the only child syndrome. You know, and the only child syndrome is that person who is always used to being by themselves, so they don't want to be by themselves no more. So they end up being with whoever, whatever, and however, just so they don't be alone, because they don't want to be alone. So it's just
wow.
So many different syndromes out there that when you're dealing with certain women and men and you look at it, you're saying, wow, you know, that sounds like somebody I know. Oh, you know, that could be me.
Yep. Well, you're right. I tell you, you know, it's something. But, you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm not going to hold you any longer because you've been talking for 2 hours, and I appreciate you doing that. I'm sorry the two other guests didn't come, but, you know, in a way, I'm kind of, I ain't going to say I'm glad they didn't show up, but it's good because we got a lot of information from you tonight that was definitely needed to be talked about, especially with the cheating and the different syndromes and different things that reason why people do what they do. So we thank you for coming on. But what I wanted you to do
thank you for having me.
I want you to tell people again how they can get your book, how they can get you to come in, and what you need, what you got coming up.
Well, you can visit my website. Everything is there, www.samantha-joyner.com. On the 18th of August, I'll be at the Black Expo, Author Expo in Timmins, Maryland. And then in October, I'm going to be in Hampton, South Carolina for another expo in South Carolina. And then Hilton Head in February for a retreat for couples. And that's going to be, I think, awesome for couples to come down and stay at the resort and go through some different things with me and a couple of other authors that will be there. And then I'm filling in the blanks right now. That's what I have that's out there right now. In between August the 16th through the 24th, I will be on the road. I'll be going to New York. I'll be coming to Virginia. I'll be coming all up in the Northeast area for about 8 to 9 days. I'll be traveling up in that area. So if I'm in your area and you want to do something, you can just reach out, womancheater@gmail.com, or visit my website, www.samantha-joyner.com, or just feel free to email me, and I definitely answer all my emails. And
all right,
on Facebook, author Samantha Joyner.
Well, you know, when you got something else coming up and you just want to come on, you just let me know and we'll get you on, okay? So then we'll definitely do that because we definitely want to support you and what you do. And I'm just glad that you were able to come on and do your thing.
Well, thank you for having me, and I look forward to talking to you guys again, and y'all have a good night.
Not a problem, and we thank you for coming on. So this has been Word Sexy Radio, and we thank you all for coming on and listening. And like I said, we're going to have this show. It's been recorded, so if you want to, if you didn't hear it, we will definitely have it for you in about 30 minutes. So we thank you all for coming on, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Girl, you just don't know. Last night was incredible. Yes. Check it out. Last night, I felt the skies open up and rain down heaven. Last night, the sun, the moon, and stars come together. Last night I heard an angel speak to me, said thus forever. And while we were making love, I saw visions of a tropical river. Last night I touched the dream. When you were here with me, last night I touched the dream. Girl, you fulfill my fantasy. Making history. That night you brought my dream to reality. Now last night, ooh, I could have sworn I saw an eagle spread his wings. Last night I heard a massive choir lift their voice and sing. Last night I saw the world living in peace and harmony. Ooh. While we were making love, felt my soul being set free. Last night, yeah, yeah. You were here with me last night. I touched
the dream.
Ooh, and you fulfilled my fantasy. Yeah. I
touched the dream.
I said we wrote the book of love making history.
Touched the dream.
Oh, yeah. Girl, you brought my dreams to reality.
I could have raised the rainbow.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. You gotta listen to me, all right? Everything I